What a privilege it is to be a part of the family of God. And this morning I began talking about what I called walking in love. And I know it was, a feeling of we are, what are we talking about? And of course, because of the marriage seminar and that being part of the topic, and I appreciate all of those that were involved, as I said, in all of that over the weekend. And so we're just thankful that you would be here tonight. And I'm trying to get these slides to come up. There they are, I think. And we are growing apostolic legacy. We're growing and we are apostolic. And there's a great legacy. And this morning I talked about the temple of Diana or Artemis that was there in Ephesus, where Paul wrote these words: "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." And what a powerful word picture, because it was basically talking about that total sacrifice and being burned and being burned up was what the Lord allowed himself to go to the cross and humbled himself. Why? For us, so that we could feel what we felt, what we sang about the glory, Shekinah glory coming down, that we could talk about the name and being a part of the family of God and feeling that family connection and feeling that heaven coming down and Shekinah glory coming down. And whatever phrase you want to use is because the Lord went to Calvary that we can feel that. It is not because of who we are. It's not because of how good we are. It's not because of how talented we are, but it's because of who he is and who he was and why he went to Calvary, so that we could experience that. And yet, as I mentioned this morning, and I know maybe it was a different way of looking at it, but talked about grieving not the Spirit of God, that and so we can have the Holy Ghost. As I said, this was written to a church. It was not written to the unsaved. It was not written to those that were not trying to live for God. But he said things like, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice be put away from you, and be kind one to another and tender-hearted and forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us." And then, I did talk about some of the difference between the world view of love and Christ's view of love, and love versus infatuation, and all of those kinds of things. And if you didn't hear that and you want me to go through it again, I'll be glad to tell you. But when you read this part of Ephesians, and he's saying walk in love, and I understand that we talk about falling in love, and yet most of the time, that's a negative with a positive. You know, if you ever even hear or think about it that way, I fell in love, and I fell down, broke my, leg or whatever. And yet maybe sometimes you feel that way after falling in love, and because it really wasn't love. The world calls it love. There's thousands of love songs and thousands of ways that we try to sell it, and everybody wants it and everybody feels like they need it, and yet the greatest source of love is God. And it's like, we'll find, because that's how he defines himself, for God is love. And yet, what happens is folks begin to hit, 14 or 15 or 16, and they feel like, man, I just need somebody to love me, and I just need you know, somebody to respond. And unfortunately, you know, we have seen young people who are our children that have gotten their lives off track because they want to even have a child just so they have something that they feel that they can love and will love them back. And they're missing a great understanding of what genuine love is all about. It's not that you say, well, you know, I love my car, I love my dog or my cat, I understand, but there is a depth of love that you can only find in serving God. And there's something about it when you really fall in love with Him. And it's not just a bunch of rules, and it's not just a bunch of regulations, and oh, do I have to go to church, and do I have to raise my hands, and do I have to pray, and do, but I love this. I love what I feel. I love what I'm experiencing, that you see this great transition begin to happen personally, because now we are walking in love. And there's something about that. And he goes on through a list, and I read it this morning in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and he talks about things that we need to stop doing, and I agree, all of those things, and we must start giving thanks, and I understand that. And then I talked about the parable that the Lord answered Simon Peter with, and that he used to his disciples when Peter was saying, well, you know, you're saying this forgiveness stuff, how much do I have to forgive? And the Lord gave him this astronomical number of 490 times. And then he tells the parable of the rich man that, or the king that called a day of reckoning to his servants, and he brought them in, and he found that one man owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I know that we don't understand that thinking now, but it would be like $10,000 billion, you know. It's like just this astronomical number, greater than the at that time the whole economy of the nation, you know, was, they only had about 101 talents of silver in the tabernacle, about 30 talents of gold in the Ark of the Covenant. And so there was not even that, hardly that many talents. In fact, we read the verse in Corinthians where, as a matter of fact, they showed that you could hire a standing army of 100,000 men with 100 talents. So, you know, when you stop and think of how much money this man owed, this was an amazing kind of sense that I am thinking I could even pay this back. It's obvious this guy must have been the greatest embezzler of all times, because the king didn't even know. He just said, it's the day of accounting, and he calls him in, and this guy's stolen 10,000 talents from him. And so, you know, but of course, when you liken that to the Heavenly Father, and then you saw what happened, that immediately that the king put this man in jail, and then his wife, he said he was going to put her and sell her and his kids. And I talked about how that's the way sin does, is it eats into an individual, and it splashes out into, you know, your family, and then in your children, and how devastating that can be. As a parent, the worst thing in the world to think that you hurt your children, or that because of you they were sold into slavery, or because of what you had done, your mistake, that something were to happen to your spouse or your children. How devastating that would be. And yet, whenever we were through this morning, Brother Dan Edwards came to me and he says, you know, Pastor, I had just the flip of that. And I realized that I didn't hit that as hard as I should have this morning, because in reality, What's awesome about that story is if you can get so far in debt to God and to the point that it impacts your wife and your children, and then if you are willing, though, to humble yourself like this man did and fall on your face and say, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm going to worship you. That's what this servant did. If you remember the story that we talked about this morning, he fell down and began to worship. And that Lord, the Bible says, loosed him and said, I'm going to forgive your debt. And I believe that just like the indebtedness could impact his wife, and the indebtedness could impact his children, and the indebtedness could impact everything that he owned. If you'll ever make a move to be willing to humble yourself and fall on your face and say, God, help me, forgive me, I need you, that forgiveness can impact your forgiveness can impact your children. Forgiveness can impact your spouse. Forgiveness can impact everything you have. I will tell you, God has blessed me abundantly because of his blessings and mercy. The Lord, it just rolls generation after generation after generation. He's able to break it. You say, well, Pastor, I wasn't raised. I didn't have it. And Brother Dan this morning was talking to me, and he said, you know what? I'm a testimony to the fact that I believe that I'm going to plant a new direction for my family and a new direction for forgiveness. And that's exactly what that's all about, is that sense of, you know, while my debt will impact me, my forgiveness can impact me. Why? Because there's just something about it. No matter how massive a debt I have accrued, no matter what I've done, that I know a God that is able to forgive it all. I know a God that is able to remove it all. And there's something about feeling like you're not in debt. Now, immediately, I know that there are some times whenever we come to the Lord and we pray and we feel bad, and I've been there, and I get up and I don't feel compassion, and I don't feel being set free, and I don't feel released. That's not because it's because I've been listening to the accuser of the brethren. Do you understand? When it's God bringing my debt to my attention, then when I humble myself, I'm going to tell you, with compassion, he'll pick me up and loose my bands and set me free. I'll feel that release. If it's the enemy's job to make me feel like, well, the Lord doesn't love you and you're off track, you'll never amount, you'll never do it, you'll never get this, and if I don't feel that release, then that's whenever I turn around and I say, devil, I know that I've got a big debt, but I've got a big God that just forgave me of 10,000 talents. I know he is able, he loves me. I don't know why he loves me, but I know he loves me. I don't understand why he died for me, but I believe he died for me. I wouldn't have shed one drop of blood for me, but oh, he did it. And I can't help but praise him. I can't help but thank him. I can't help but worship him because of what he's done for me. And so sometimes people get confused because they think, oh, God's bringing up my debt. Let me just tell you something. You couldn't pay God. So don't even go there. Don't be like this servant who said, oh, I'll pay you back. Just forget it. Say, Lord, I can't pay you back. All I can do is say thank you for forgiving. Thank you for being merciful. We sang it tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the grace. They sang it. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Oh, how could I not feel that grace? How could I not feel that mercy? How could I not say, Lord, I am so thankful for what you've done for me? And we talked about how then, unfortunately, this man was just the epitome of someone who somehow believes that by my own strength I am able to do it. That was the problem. Whenever this servant was forgiven, rather than him saying, I can't make that change, I can't pay you back, I'm just going to be your servant forever. He believed somehow that with his own strength and power, he could do it. And so immediately the first guy that owed him a buck, he grabbed him by the throat. And he's humanity again. I'm going to do this by my strength. I'm going to work this out. I'm going to work. I got enough works. I'll live it hard enough. I'll do it good. You might as well forget it. You might as well just say, I need the Lord. I'm going to have the Lord to help me. I can't, you know, it's like the little story of the boy, that little boy that came to his mom and dad and said, you know, Dad, I can't be good. And then his dad said, well, just one day can you be good? And he goes, no, I can't make it a day. Well, how about a half a day? No. How about an hour? No, I can't make it an hour. Well, how about a minute? Well, maybe, Dad, a minute. I can make it a minute. And then, so his dad said, just live every day, minute by minute by minute. What? I'm needing the Lord. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Oh, I've got to have your guidance. I've got to have your mercy. I need your love. I need your presence. I don't have it in me, Lord. I am indebted to you. But when I get to thinking that, oh, well, the Lord is ought to be thankful that I'm serving him. He ought to be grateful. Listen, I owe him so much because of his amazing grace. How could I ever repay it? It ought to keep me on my knees. It ought to keep me saying, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. And so we talked about that this morning, and we talked about how, again, he talked about be imitators of him. And I didn't read this verse because you say, how does this walking in love impact my daily life? John, the Bible says, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved, John wrote in his book, first book, the fourth chapter, not in St. John, but 1 John 4. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is what? Love. You have to believe that. On some level, you have to believe that God loves you. Now you say, well, I don't feel like it. I haven't been loved and I haven't been lovable. Okay, well then just realize that you owe him 10,000 talents. And I don't know why, I don't know why he loves me. But it's true, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth where? In God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. What are you saying? You know, I realize we have to maintain a spirit of humility and needing God. But at the same time, the Lord doesn't want you to wake up every morning saying, oh God, am I going to make it? Am I going to make it to heaven? I'm afraid. I don't know if the Lord still loves me. That's a lie. That's the accuser of the brethren. He had compassion on me. He's doing everything he can. He moved all of creation to save me. As long as I want to try to live for him, I can live for him. He said, well, I don't have it in me. But he said, herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. You see, this is this walking in love. And then he goes a step further and says, there is no fear in love. Why? Because perfect love casts out fear. Now you say, well, Pastor, I don't get that. How that could happen? Well, put it in a comic book character scenario. You know, I mean, if your best buddy was Superman, and he went with you everywhere you went, and his friend was, I don't know, Batman or something, or Spider-Man. I mean, how would you have fear, right? This guy's able to spin around and make the world go backwards. I read it. I was a little boy. I know he can do it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, he can leap tall buildings. Spider-Man. I mean, he's faster than a speeding bullet. Superman. So imagine. I mean, if you put it in that kind of a scenario, and God is much bigger than all of them. And so the very fact that I've got the Lord walking with me, guess what? He's going to take care of it. Now you say, well, does that mean I don't have to work or don't have to? No, but it's just that every day that I walk, as I walk, whether I'm in school or whether I'm on the job, as I get up, as I leave for work, I just say, Lord, go with me again today. I need your presence again. I want to walk in your love. I want to feel your presence. And there's just something about it. As I go about my business, as I go about my day, I find that all of a sudden, here I am. I am no longer afraid. I am no longer worried. Why? Well, you may lose your job. You may fail this class. Well, I'm going to do my best as unto the Lord, and if I somehow fail and the Lord shuts that door, he's going to open another one somewhere. If the Lord closes that door on that job, I'm going to give it my best shot. But if something happens, you know what? He's never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. So somehow it's me and the Lord. We're going to make it. I don't know how. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to send a raven with a little scrap of meat, but somehow, some way, the Lord has never left me nor forsaken me. He's always been there. I feel his love. I feel his embrace. I feel his presence. And he's going to go with me through everything. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Say, well, Pastor, I just don't feel that. Then you need to get another baptism of the love of God. That's all I'm telling you. You say, well, but I don't feel that love. Oh, that's when I humble myself and I come into his presence and lift up both my hands. And I begin to worship. What happens? I begin to feel that embrace of the love of God. And then, as they sang, there's no greater name, no greater power. Imagine, it's not bigger than Superman, bigger than Batman or Robin or whomever you. This is the God that spun the worlds into creation. This is the very God that said, let there be light. This is the God that told Simon Peter, go catch a fish and you'll find a coin in his mouth. I don't know how God is going to do it, but I'm going to tell you, he will come through. He has never failed me yet. He has never let me down. He is going to come through, and every time he is right on time. You say, oh, that's why he said perfect love casts out fear. Because how can you be afraid? He says, because fear, whenever you begin to be fearful, what do you have? Torment. That's why the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He wants you to be afraid. God doesn't love you anymore. I mean, you just say that's such a lie. If he could forgive 10,000 talents, my Lord. Huh? He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And what that word perfect means, mature in love. We love him because he first loved us. It's not because of who I am. It's not because I'm a good guy. That's why God loves me. You got to get that out of your mind. God does not love me because I was a good guy. We love him because he first loved us. While I was yet a sinner, he died for me. It's not because of how I'm. My struggle with being good is because I've just been feeling his love and I want to respond to it. Oh, it's not because I'm better. It's because the Lord love me? And in fact, he goes on to say, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So in other words, what he was saying is, this ought to translate into your daily life. There ought to be something that all of a sudden you feel that kind of love from Almighty God. To walk in love doesn't mean that you don't have boundaries. To walk in love doesn't mean that you don't have boundaries in your marriage, boundaries for your children. It would be terrible if, because you say, well, I love Reagan, so I'm going to let her play in the street, or she can have any knife she wants, or, well, there's the gun cabinet, Reagan. If you want to play with them, just go right ahead, because I love you. I'm not going to stop. That would be ridiculous. We would say, wait a minute, you don't love her. If you loved her, you would set a boundary around her. You'd tell her, no, I'm sorry, that's crossing the line. You can do it with love. I didn't say you have to be allow inappropriate behavior, or doesn't mean that you don't, you know, that you're not trying to change your own fleshly reaction. In fact, Paul goes on in Ephesians, and he goes through some more of a list: fornication, uncleanliness, covetous, let it not be named among you as one that becometh saints, neither filthiness, foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather what? The giving of thanks. For this you know, and he goes through that list. And then, you know, let no man deceive you with vain words. In other words, don't let anybody tell you, well, it really doesn't matter what you, you know, because God doesn't care. Well, that's just vanity. For because of these things, the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. And then he said, be ye not partakers with them. And so, when you look at that, as he goes on from there, he says, be therefore not partakers with those that are the children of wrath, but be ye partakers with, don't be partakers with them, for ye were sometimes what? Darkness. But now what are you? The light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And, you know, I know that we don't like to do that, but he said, don't partake in it, but rather say, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to do it, you know. And then he goes on, for it is a shame to even to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest, how? By light. And that's why, and I'm not sorry to tell you this, but I will have to tell these young folks, that when you really start walking in love, you're going to have some friends that are going to say, I don't want to be around you. You act like you're better. You act too good. You know why? It's not because you're being mean to them, but it's their feeling reproved by you trying to walk in light. And the light is exposing their evil motives. As you are a child of the light, it is making them go, ooh, I don't like it. And so they will try to do everything they can to get you to say, hey, back off, don't do it. You know, hey, you shouldn't act that way. What do you think you are? Perfect? No. If you knew how much I owed the Lord, I'm sorry, you've misunderstood me. I owe him so much. I'm so thankful for his grace. He forgave me 10,000 talents. I can't. I'm not here to brag. I don't want to be, and it's easy to do, like the, you know, the Pharisee that looked across the church and said, oh, I thank God I'm not as bad as them. I thank God I'm not that bad. But that's not the attitude we're supposed to have as a child of the light. We're supposed to be so thankful that what God has done for us. And he says, whatsoever doth make manifest his light, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. In other words, looking around, not as fools, but as wise. When you look at Colossians, it said the same thing. When he wrote Colossians, he said, mortify those in your member. And he talks about thoughts and actions. What was he saying? Put them to death. And that's why we have to die daily sometimes. And then Simon Peter even went further to say, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That you would show forth the praises who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. That's what we're doing around here, is saying, Lord, what a privilege it is to feel the light of your presence and the love that you have, and to be wrapped in that love. That's why we praise the Lord and sing. And in times past, we were not a people. In times past, I had no family. But now, I am part of the people of God. What a powerful, powerful verse. And he says, which had not had mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust that war against your soul. Last but not least, at the end of Ephesians, this chapter, or as he goes on before he gets to the wives and the children and how to respond is that, but he talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And then one of my favorite New Testament verses. I preached on it one time. I don't remember how long ago it's been, but it's this: don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. I love that verse because he said you need to act like a drunk, but on the Spirit. What are you talking about? Well, you know, drunks don't care who's around. I mean, when they get enough sheets to the wind, 3 or 7 or 10 or however many, I mean, they'll stand on top of a table. I mean, they'll get a microphone in their hand. They'll just sing thinking that they sound good. Huh? I mean, you know, they'll call out a whole motorcycle gang and they're all by themselves with no weapon. Just, he said, I don't want you to be that kind of drunk. But I want you to be just that way in the Spirit. You know what, Lord? Hallelujah. I don't care who's watching. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I feel like praying. I feel like worshiping. I feel like, somebody might get offended. You know what? When you're really drunk, you don't care who's offended, who says anything. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to feel the Spirit. Then he said, start singing to yourself. Start speaking to yourself. Start singing a song. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. I will praise him. He brought me out of the miry clay. He said, what are you doing? I'm talking to myself. Why? Because I'm walking.